Hello, and welcome back to episode 4 of the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. I'm Alan Jackaway, sitting across from me is James Bunnell. James, we had a draft, or an auction, more accurately.
Yeah.
For our big IDP league.
Yeah.
And guess who? If you had to pick one team in the league, who would you think I would be playing in week one?
Gee, I don't know. Would it be, could it be my team?
It sure is.
Oh, yeah.
James, I want to talk to me a little bit about the construction of your team.
All right.
Real quick.
So, there's a theme in my team this year that you might have noticed, which is that I drafted, like, 50% rookies.
I did notice that.
Most of my team is comprised of rookies, which means I'm going to have to be starting at least half rookies.
I was pretty excited to see that I got to play against you week one. I'm not concerned about newly re-signed defensive tackle Geno Atkins anchoring my team, but if I were you, I'd be a little concerned about having to play the first week of all these rookies against my team. I would be...
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure what is going to happen in this first week, nor am I 100% sure how I'm supposed to decide who to start this week.
So in the future on AlanJackaway.com, we are going to be doing rankings for each week. We're going to be setting up our player rankings at different positions for each week. But because we forgot about that, this last week is also the first week of previews, weekly previews, we didn't do that this week. So we don't have those to help you out. You're going to have to figure it out all on your own without our help. But in the future, we'll have those rankings up on AlanJackaway.com. You can also email the podcast at podcast@alanjackaway.com. We don't have any listener mail this week, which is probably okay, since we have basically a double podcast. We won't spend too much time boring you with the specific details of our teams, other than just to let you know that, of course, James has all rookies, I have more established veterans, and we'll let you know which of us proves victorious after week one.
Yes.
Also, Geno Atkins signing a 5-year extension for $55 million. That's
yeah.
A lot of dollars.
That is a lot of dollars.
At the same time, he's the player I kept from year to year. He's one of my favorite players in the league. Probably, our consensus, number one defensive tackle.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
If you're going to pay $55 million to a guy, why not Geno Atkins?
Yeah.
If you had $55 million lying around, James,
well,
would you consider paying Geno Atkins to hang out for 5 years?
You know what? I think, Alan, that's a great idea. I can't think of a person I'd rather pay $55 million to hang out with me.
For 5 years. It's not
for 5 years.
You're not
talking
about one day or anything.
Right.
He's at all your parties for all 5 years.
Yeah. Hey, that would be pretty neat. All the flag football games, I would pick him first, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't play the positions we usually use for flag football, but
he
probably would still be better at them than we are.
Almost certainly.
Yeah.
Almost certainly.
All right, well, we have a pretty packed podcast, so we're going to go straight into the last divisions of our divisional preview next. We begin the final week of our divisional preview with the AFC West, and the first team we're going to talk about in the AFC West is the Denver Broncos. Denver Broncos are my second favorite team following the Philadelphia Eagles. I was born in the Denver area, and I've always had sort of a soft spot for the Denver Broncos. I think that the first place we should start is Von Miller.
Yeah.
Great player.
Absolutely.
Probably the second best. I don't know. So when did you start doing your defensive rankings over the summer, James, would you say? Had the news about Miller's suspension already come out?
The news about his suspension had come out, but actually the talk around the news circuit was that he was going to appeal it, and he had a pretty good chance of winning the appeal.
Right. There was a while that we were thinking that. So I did my initial rankings before his suspension or Darrell Washington's suspension were announced, and at that point I had Von Miller as my second overall player, a position that now Luke Kuechly occupies. I really like Von Miller. I think he's a great player. He is, we now know, suspended for the first 6 games of the season. I think that is going to take a large hit on the overall Denver Broncos production.
Yeah.
The result is that I ranked him all the way down to 29th. And James, you did not rank him at all.
No, when I heard about his 6-game suspension, I dropped him from the rankings completely. Which might be an overreaction, but I just have no idea how to feel about him coming back.
Well, so my claim, I guess, would be that missing 6 games, You basically get 10 games of Von Miller, and you get 6 games of a replacement-level player. And for me, that puts him into sort of the end of the second round, end of the second tier of linebackers, early third tier of linebackers. I just think that once he comes back, he's going to give you a huge advantage. He's going to be right back to his former self. He's still allowed to practice. He's not injured or anything. There's not, like, a recovery time. He just had some substance abuse violations. We aren't going to go too in-depth in that. But anyway, my point is, I believe that Von Miller is an extremely valuable commodity if you can last the 6 weeks until he comes back. And I think that having him plus replacement level is much more valuable than just getting the other players that you could get around that, you know, fourth round or so, third round of linebackers.
You know? Yeah. Also, if you play with a bunch of particularly forgetful people, just don't draft him. And then wait, like, 5 weeks, and then when the game, like, the week before his suspension is up, pick him up off the waiver wire.
Yeah, or keep an eye out in case someone gets in roster trouble, you know, and you can grab him near the end there.
Yeah.
There are some players on the Broncos that we have differing feelings about, and those are the cornerbacks. We each ranked one cornerback from the Denver Broncos. I ranked Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie as my 16th cornerback. You ranked Champ Bailey as your 33rd. Now, that ranking, I think, does not take into effect a injury to his ankle that will keep him out. Maybe not keep him out for week one, but certainly affect his play for week one. That injury is not serious.
No, it's just a high ankle sprain, which sounds really bad if you're not a football player, but if you are a football player, that's like stubbing your toe.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, high ankle sprains can be a big deal, but he's not expected to miss substantial time with that injury. No.
Like you said, he might play in week one. He'll definitely be back by week two.
Right. So I guess my question is, what are your feelings about the two players compared to each other? Like, why have Rodgers-Cromartie not ranked and Champ Bailey ranked so high? I mean, not so high. I guess I have Rodgers-Cromartie really high.
Yeah.
And Champ Bailey not ranked.
Alan, I feel that, like, Champ Bailey of the two is the better playmaker, which I think we've seen just based on his previous history in Denver. He's a guy who, even though he's a cornerback, manages to always be around the ball no matter what. Even if sometimes the ball is over his head and the receiver is past him, which happens. I just feel like Bailey is a person who you can count on to be in more plays than Rodgers-Cromartie is, who may technically be a better cornerback, but isn't a playmaker in the same way that Champ Bailey is.
So my main concern with Champ Bailey, and this has been my concern for many years and hasn't panned out yet, is just how old he is, and my belief that at some point there's going to become a time when it's not worth starting him. And I guess I'm of the philosophy that it's better to be too early coming off the bandwagon than too late. So I'd rather take a younger player like Rodgers-Cromartie or one of the other cornerbacks around your 30s or something like that who isn't quite so old, just because I am concerned that there's a chance that at some point Champ Bailey just won't be able to keep up with opposing receivers. He was totally capable of it last year. He played great, and that was wonderful. Again, I'm sort of a Broncos fan, so that's lovely, but I just am not willing to pull the trigger on him in a fantasy league at this point. To pull the trigger on Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie, though, who I think will be starting that, occupying that alternate slot. I think he should get a lot of attention from quarterbacks. He's kind of a gambling-type player that is, you know, has been known in his career to intercept a decent number of balls, take them back for touchdowns. So I like Rodgers-Cromartie a little bit better. I don't think we need to talk about too many other players. We pretty much agree on the rest of the team here.
Yeah.
So let's...
There's a rookie I would like to mention.
Oh, go ahead.
Rookie defensive tackle, Sylvester Williams. He's listed as being on the second team right now, but he's getting a lot of playing time because of the significant number of injuries the Denver defense has suffered.
Yeah.
He's being asked to do a lot on the team because, as we say in defense, defense is built from the lines out, and he's the center of the line.
Yeah.
And he's learning his position, and he's trying really hard. He has the potential to be really good, but I think a lot of the whether or not Denver can cope for these first few games with the injuries and what is going to rest on his shoulders and whether or not he can sort of anchor the line at that defensive tackle position.
And do you believe that's a position that he'll hold for the entire year?
I think one of two things is going to happen. The Denver is going to be a good team, and it's going to be because he's able to hold that position down, and because he's able to do that, he's going to get to keep the starting job. Or we're going to see Denver's defense collapse spectacularly, and it's going to be his fault, and he's never going to play again.
Well, I hope it's the first one. Let's go to the over-under. James, Denver Broncos over-under is 11.5 wins.
That's really high.
It's a lot of wins. Well, they were in the AFC Championship last year. They won, I believe, 13 games last year. Their division, we're going to get to the rest of pretty soon, but certainly is questionable.
Yeah, for sure. Even though 11.5 seems pretty high, I have faith in the Denver Broncos. I'm going to go with the over on these guys.
I also have faith in the Denver Broncos and will also be going with the over.
Yeah.
Another team I think we both have faith in is the newly helmed by Andy Reid and Alex Smith, Kansas City Chiefs.
It's the return of the Walrus. It's going to be amazing.
Technically, the Walrus was never gone.
No, but at the same time, it's like a rebirthing for the Walrus. A renaissance, if you will.
There are a lot of players on this team, or at least two notable players on this team, that we really like. We have Derek Johnson listed as our sixth best linebacker. I personally have him fourth, and you have him ninth. We have Eric Berry as our fourth safety. I have him third, and you have him eighth. That's a little bit different, but probably not enough to warrant us really discussing.
Yeah.
What about, are there other players on this team that can be valuable to your fantasy game?
Well, yes. And the reason is because Kansas City has, according to ESPN, the smallest defensive roster I have ever seen before. They have four positions where they have only one player listed as playing that position. So if you need, I don't think that any of the people playing these positions are particularly spectacular, but they will see a lot of snaps. They'll have a lot of opportunity to score points. So the linebackers are going to get a lot of tackles because they're going to be in on a bunch of plays. Even the cornerbacks are going to get a lot of tackles because they're going to be in on a lot of plays. The nose tackle is going to be around to get stuffs and to screw around in the backfield. I mean, it's going to be Kansas. You almost can't go wrong taking a Kansas City defensive player because
you just know the starting time is going to be there.
Yeah, exactly. Also, I think they're going to be pretty good. I think you look at a team that was 2-14 last season or something like that, but sent four defensive players to the Pro Bowl. Like, there is something going right there on the defensive side of the football.
Certainly true. Now, we only have two really highly ranked players there. One of the Pro Bowl players, I believe, is Tamba Hali. Is that correct? So, we don't really have him ranked. In fact, neither of us have him ranked. I checked into this. I think that for me, the reason is because he puts up decent sack numbers but doesn't put up decent tackle numbers, even though he's really playing unopposed in that spot. Yeah. Did you have a particular reason for not ranking Tamba Hali? Or
no, just wasn't really on my radar, Alan.
Yeah, his scoring last year wasn't great. Like, he didn't put up a huge number of fantasy points. He's still very valuable in terms of making their defense run, and we talk about players like that, I think, pretty frequently that are valuable in terms of the overall defense but not valuable to you in fantasy. And I think Tamba Hali fits into that, as does their nose tackle Dontari Poe. He was a first round draft pick, I think, last year, and played fine, but nose tackles just don't
score points.
They just don't put up that kind of numbers, so you don't wind up playing them. A player I do think will put up numbers, and that I believe you agree will put up numbers, is new cornerback Dunta Robinson. I hate Dunta Robinson.
I know you do.
I have always hated Dunta Robinson. I think he's kind of a dirty player. As an Eagles fan, I saw him concuss a few too many of our wide receivers. But I will not deny that he can really rack up tackles.
Yeah, he can.
And I think there's no reason to suspect that he will not be doing that again in Kansas City.
No, so he is competing for a starting job with
Sean Smith?
Yes, Sean Smith. So his playing time might get cut into a little bit.
I think the worst case scenario for his playing time is that he'll be the nickel cornerback.
He's
not going to be a player who doesn't start at who doesn't play in games.
No.
Right.
Yeah. He's going to see playing time. Kansas City's defense has always been pretty intricate and tricksy. So look to see him on the field in strange looks all the time.
Yeah. And I think we both like Kansas City. We think with their six Pro Bowlers flat from last year, despite their 2-14 record, I think that when we reveal this over-under, which is 7.5.
Ooh.
We're both going to be, which is reasonably high for a team that won two games last year. But it is a team that we think, you know, has good players on it and just kind of fell apart at the end there. I personally will take the over.
Yeah, I'm with you, Alan. I'm taking the over on that, too. I think with a stable, if not spectacular, quarterback at the helm and an offense that can reasonably produce points and a defense like they've got, shoo-in to win 8 games. Look, and maybe even more. I mean, this could be a surprising season for Kansas City.
Yeah, this is my pick for if Peyton Manning gets hurt, which team will win the AFC West, and it would be Kansas City. I think it would be hard for Denver to come back after that, especially with 6 weeks of missing Von Miller.
Yeah.
If you saw Peyton Manning getting injured quickly, I think that Kansas City would be the favorite to win this division, at least for me personally.
Yeah.
The next team in the AFC West we'd like to talk about is the Oakland Raiders. James, I read an amazing stat about the Oakland Raiders.
Oh?
I read that they are replacing more starting defensive players than any team in, I think, since the NFL merger. That they'll be starting more new defensive players than any team since the NFL merger.
Wow.
What can you tell me about the Oakland Raiders as an overall defense and your feelings about their prospects as a defense for this year?
So, the Oakland Raiders, as a team in general, they've had problems with management for quite some time, as anyone who pays even the remotest amount of attention to football should probably be aware of.
I also read that 40% of their cap space is being used up by players who will not play this year because they have been released in one way or another.
Yeah, I think finally someone is attempting to burn the team to the ground in an attempt to raise some sort of phoenix out of the ashes of that process. And I think they've made a good start. I think they really did need to shake a bunch of things up because literally nothing was working. And replacing so many different people on their defense is almost certainly a step in the right direction. The question is, and they have actually replaced these players with talent on paper anyway. The question is can the staff and the defense players individually figure out how to work together in a way that is able to actually produce, you know, defensive outcomes on the football field.
Yeah.
And the answer to that question is a big fat question mark. Like,
yeah,
just a giant shrug of the shoulders. I have no idea.
It's something we're going to have to watch pretty carefully. The result is we really don't have very many players ranked highly on the Raiders. We have Tyvon Branch 15th among safeties. You're actually kind of down on him. You have him all the way down at 26th. Possibly just because this isn't a team that we think that opposing teams are going to have to throw against all that much.
Probably not. They've also picked up Charles Woodson.
I noticed.
To fill the other safety spot.
Yeah, we did not rank Charles Woodson. He had a really bad end of the season last year. I mean, I think he got pulled out of the starting lineup at some point.
Right.
He could have a career renaissance.
Yeah.
I think it's possible, but I'm not prepared to take him.
I think that us not ranking him is probably an oversight on our part, just because he clearly has the talent, and he's now probably the most talented person in the secondary for Oakland. I mean, he's going to have to be a leader.
I prefer Tyvon Branch myself.
I know you prefer Tyvon Branch. But
understood.
Woodson, yeah. And I mean, he is still the only defensive player to have won a Heisman Trophy.
True.
He's a person with a lot of street cred, lot of, you know.
Yeah, my concern mostly is that when he went to Green Bay, there were a lot of people saying that he was too old to continue playing his position.
Yeah.
And I would assume that that's worse now.
That is how time works, so yes,
yeah, most
I agree.
Of these players get older each season.
Yeah, I think, yeah, with very few exceptions, that's probably true.
Yeah, I think Adrian Peterson got younger last season,
but we all know that he's not really human,
right.
So.
In any case, are there any players? I think you said you had a rookie you wanted to talk about on this team.
I do have a rookie I want to talk about. His name is DJ Hayden. He is a new cornerback acquisition for them this year. He may not actually see all that much playing time, but I wanted to mention him because in his senior year of college, he suffered a torn vein near his heart and nearly died.
Sounds bad.
Yeah, it sounds really bad. And 9 months after suffering that injury, he's been cleared to play professional football. So
that's good.
You know, yeah. He's in good shape. Whatever, you know, you gotta, however he may play on the football field, that he can recover from an injury like that in 9 months says a lot about his devotion to playing the sport of football. So hats off to you, DJ Hayden.
Well, cool. Do you have any other players you want to talk about here? I do not.
I don't either.
All right, then straight into the line. Oakland Raiders, over-under for the season, 5.5 wins.
It's kind of hard to see them getting to five
wins. It's really hard to imagine that there's people betting the over that they're really saying, like, oh yeah, they're going to win six games. They don't have a lot of players.
No. I think they're a team that, like, if you just looked at numbers on paper and added them all together, you would get this result and you'd be like, yeah, six wins, easy. And then you like stare at them for 10 seconds in the real world and you're like, hold on, none of these things work.
I don't think if I added them up on paper I would say six wins easily, so I don't even have that reservation. I think we're both taking the under here.
Yeah,
absolutely. All right. Yeah. On to the last AFC West team. That team is the San Diego Chargers. San Diego Chargers have my favorite safety, a player I paid dearly for in our auction, Eric Weddle.
Yeah.
He's my number one safety. He comes in at 2 overall. You have him 3rd, so we don't really have to talk about difference there. I think he's a
great
complete safety.
Absolutely.
That does everything you want, and that the Chargers may be good enough that teams will have to throw against him. But even if not, he supports the run game well and should have decent opportunity for tackles.
Yeah.
I think we should talk a little bit about Donald Butler.
Okay.
This is a player who I think was on pace for top 20 or so season last year before he became injured. He winds up 41st in our linebacker rankings. I basically just wanted to say that I think that that's maybe a little too low. I only ranked him 37th, so my rankings didn't reflect that.
Yeah.
But I do think that he's a player that if you can get him late in the draft, if you're looking for a backup linebacker with upside to become a starter, I think that Donald Butler is a really good choice for a possible breakout player. And he also may be benefiting, in my opinion, from the starter on a bad team, linebacker on a bad team philosophy.
Yeah. I think there's a lot to that.
There's another linebacker on this bad team that you probably thought we were going to talk about when I mentioned Donald Butler.
Yes.
That player, whose name I don't know how to pronounce properly, is
Manti Te'o.
Sure.
Yeah. I believe it's, the general consensus is Manti Te'o.
Not Monty. Manti.
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Manti Te'o.
Manti Te'o.
James, this is a rookie that I have ranked higher than you do.
I know. And so the reason this is I don't like Manti Te'o. I think Notre Dame's defense was overrated last year, and I think he was overrated last year. Not that he's a bad player, but I think we have way more rookies coming into this season that are going to be so much more fun to watch than he is, and are going to produce better than he does. I mean, additionally, Manti Te'o has been suffering from injury throughout this preseason, so he's not even going to start in week one.
Right, which is a disappointment, I imagine, since I do think that he had a good chance of really racking up tackles in the interior of that linebacking core.
I mean, and you, again, linebacker on a bad team, you know, even a half, if he's got even like the league average,
he just has to be in there.
Exactly.
Right.
If he's got the league average amount of talent and he is in the middle of all these plays on a terrible defense, then
you should at least be able to get, you know, six tackles a week or something like
that. Exactly, yeah. I don't think he's not going to produce points. I don't like him because for some reason he does not feel like the rest of the rookie class this season.
Yeah, and I mean, it's legitimate to think that his talent may not be all that it's been advertised for, and the injuries are a concern. I think that's a thing that's going to get better, but again, he's not a player that I have crazy high. I have him 47th among linebackers. It's just that it's surprising to see any rookie that you have ranked lower than I do, so it just was surprising.
I hear you.
I don't think there's too much else to talk about. We both like Corey Lugier. He's our 5th defensive tackle.
Yeah.
So we both pretty much agree. Who do you have?
I don't want to mention Dwight Freeney being on this
team. I did not rank. Did you rank Dwight Freeney?
I'm not sure that I did. I don't think I did. But I want to bring him up because Dwight Freeney is a hilarious human being. And you should all be rooting for him. And I think if you're looking for a person who you want all your friends to laugh at you when you tell them they're picking them as their surprise player, defensive breakout player of the season, then you definitely have to pick Dwight Freeney. And then you tell everyone that he's going to sack Peyton Manning 4 times this season.
He does get to play him twice. Happen. That's only 2 sacks per game.
It's only 2 sacks a game. Also, I believe if he does sack Peyton Manning, he'll have sacked a quarterback on every team.
I think that's
in the
true.
NFL.
I've heard that before.
So Good luck, Dwight Freeney. I hope you get to sack Peyton Manning. For those of you who are rooting for the Broncos to fail, hope that he sacks him really, really hard.
We don't ever want to hope.
No, but we don't condone that kind of behavior.
All right, do you have any other players here?
That's it. That's
then
all.
Let's go straight to the over-under. That is 7.5 wins. I like the under.
I don't think Philip Rivers can lead a team to...
Yeah, I also just, they have a lot of injuries in terms of the receivers, the defense. We like Eric Weddle. We don't really like any of the cornerbacks. Derek Cox is okay. We have enough concerns, I think, here that I'm not excited about them getting to 500 this year.
Yeah.
All right, that wraps up the AFC West. We will continue with the NFC West in a moment. We continue our divisional previews with the NFC West, and the first team we're going to talk about is the Arizona Cardinals. The Arizona Cardinals have a couple players that we're really high on.
Yeah.
I think we should just start with a couple that we agree about. One of those is the player whose name I learned to pronounce recently, Calais Campbell. It's spelled like Kalai, but I read an interview. He says he pronounced the S. I believe it's Calais. We have him as our fourth defensive end, although neither of us are quite that high on him. It's just one of these things where he averages out a little higher. Another player we really like is Patrick Peterson. He's our ninth-ranked cornerback. In addition, I hear he may be playing some offense this year.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be great. If you're not playing in an IDP league, but you're playing in a league that contains IDPs... Patrick Peterson, he's going to score stupid more points than any other person play in his position.
Right, even if he just catches, say, 2 or 3 passes a game for 40 yards, that's a huge number of extra points that you would actually get to score in a league like that. The league that we play in is defensive players only, and you don't score but a lot of leagues are defensive players mixed in with the offense, and for those leagues, I believe you would get points if he catches passes and gets yards that way.
You should beat up your league manager about that.
You certainly should. Anyway, we both, I think, really like Patrick Peterson, and in a format like that, we probably like him even more. Now, that, I guess we should maybe, you know, couch that a little bit.
Sure.
Sometimes reports like that come out in preseason.
Yeah,
and they're not for real.
In the real world.
This is the thing that might not happen. But if it does, get a lot of points. And he's a great player anyway. It's not like a player that you're losing points. You know, it's not like he wouldn't have been a worthwhile starter without this information. So it's less of a gamble, too, assuming that's going to happen. More of a gamble would be picking Darrell Washington. He comes in as our 20th linebacker. We pretty much agree on him. He was my third-ranked player before we heard that he was going to be suspended for the first 4 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
Do you have any reason to be concerned about Darrell Washington when he comes back into the lineup after 4 weeks, or do we just have him down at 20 because of the 4 games that you know you're going to be missing?
I think it's probably the latter. Just, 12 games is less games to rack up points than 16 games is. So.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Yeah,
I did read a report at some point early in the preseason that Carlos Dansby, who they brought in to play in his slot until he shows back up, might be able to hold that starter's role past when he returns. Do you think there's any chance that Carlos Dansby stops Darrell Washington from getting on the field?
Maybe. I think if he shows a lot of pizzazz in these first 4 weeks, there's a chance that they'll go with Dansby over Washington.
So I guess what I meant by that is that an over question, or would they be able to play both?
Oh, like, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
So I had read this report, and I was like, that can't make sense. I'm sure they would get both of them on the field if Dansby plays well, right?
I think there's no reason that you wouldn't want those two players sharing snaps, because it means that each of them is going to be able to play harder.
Right. I guess what I was just looking for is, should we be worried about Darrell Washington due to the potential of Carlos Dansby cutting into his playing time? I think no.
I don't think that's much of a concern. I'll say this, looking at ESPN right now, Darrell Washington is not on the depth chart for the Arizona Cardinals, which is slightly concerning.
ESPN's a little strange about that with suspended players, though. I don't think that there's any danger there.
Me neither. You're right. That being said, I think Darrell Washington is a safe bet to be a solidly average producer. No,
I think
this year.
He will be better than solidly average if you take it on a per game played.
Well,
basis.
Sure. Yeah.
So you just have to be able to sacrifice those first
games.
4 weeks.
Yeah.
So that's three players we really love on this team. Maybe four. I know you're very high on Carlos Dansby.
I think Carlos Dansby is good,
but not. You have him ranked 19th. It looks like I don't have him quite that high. How do you feel about the remainder of the defense?
Well, so I got to give a shout out to Lorenzo Alexander, being a former Redskin.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. God, I love that guy. When he was on the Redskins, he was eligible at, like, everything but cornerback, basically,
nice.
Which is spectacular, and I love him for that. And right now, they've got him at outside linebacker, but look to see him all over the field. He is a person who's probably useless in fantasy football, but is such an important part of any defense because he can plug any hole that you have.
Neither
he is
of us
solid
him,
everywhere,
but
he's not going to score a lot of points. So, good luck to you, Lorenzo Alexander. The other player I would like to mention is, of course, the Honey Badger.
I took him in our draft.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty excited about him. I have him ranked 29th among safeties, although in our league he qualifies as a cornerback, so I'm not sure
That's
how I mixed
weird.
Those two things up.
I
don't think... Well, what's your opinion about him? I'll go
He got a lot of bad press for, I don't know.
It was a drug thing.
Yeah, for screwing around with pot a lot in college.
Yep.
And a lot of people were expecting that it would negatively impact his football performance and that it would... screw with how teams want to perceive of him, but
and
like,
it certainly depressed his draft value.
It did. It depressed his draft value, but also I think it has absolutely no effect on his ability to play football. I think he's going to be amazing when he gets. He's going to be just as like overpoweringly ridiculous as he was in college, but in the NFL, because I mean he's going to be in a setting where his life's going to be more structured. He's
yep.
you know he's a professional now. He's got more responsibilities, and he's. He was in college. He was a college kid. Like,
I mean,
who didn't go to parties
like
in college? But
his
like,
problems were a little more substantial than that. But I mostly agree with you. My personal feelings on him in terms of fantasy are that you would not want him to be an every week starter on your team, but that if you want a potentially high upside player, I'm not sure that he's going to be great, right?
Yeah.
I feel like there are players like this that come out of college who are very good at, for example, forcing fumbles in college,
mm-hmm.
and that skill sometimes does not translate to the NFL.
Yeah, there is always a worry of that.
But, so, and that's why I don't want him as an every week starter. It's also not clear, from what I've read, he's probably going to be playing something like a nickel cornerback or
yes.
outside line, like extra linebacker on
yeah.
passing downs.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that he's going to be on the field enough to really warrant you playing him, but once you're picking backups for your team, I think that because there's this possibility that he recaptures what he had that one really great year in college, he's a player that you want as a backup on your team because if he does that, he could be worth a ton.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
So I'm reasonably high. Among rookies,
yeah.
he's one of the ones that I'm most high on, honestly. That's another possible defensive rookie of the year candidate. If you believe that he might be able to, say, create 10 total turnovers or something like that, you could imagine
yeah.
him getting defensive rookie of the year. The rest of this team kind of looks like cast-offs from other organizations. Antoine Kaysen has... you know, outstayed his first tour of duty. Jeremiah Bell,
yeah.
John Abraham. It's all these players that
yeah.
maybe, you know, were worth starting in fantasy. Maybe still are worth starting. We have Antoine Kaysen ranked 19th among cornerbacks, so that's
yeah.
a starter in
yeah.
our minds.
For sure.
But do you think this defense is going to be good? They were pretty good last year overall.
I think they were pretty good last year. I think they have a good chance to be good this year.
Yeah.
And again, I think with... They're another one of these teams that has suddenly a sort of stable quarterback situation after
yeah.
like 100 quarterbacks in 3 weeks or whatever the hell they went through last season.
Yeah, it seemed like that.
And so I think that the offense stabilizing is going to make the defense feel more comfortable. And the defense is, you could say old, you could say veteran. I mean,
there you go. Perfect.
Yeah, I think it's, you know, with some infusion of new talent that can give them a little bit of energy. So Arizona could surprise you this year. I think their defense is going to be good.
So it sounds like you're leaning towards over on 5.5 wins.
I would easily take over on 5.5 wins.
I will also take over on 5.5 wins. We like the Cardinals.
Go Cardinals.
The next team is the San Francisco 49ers. San Francisco 49ers has one of the best defenses in the league.
Yeah.
There's a lot of players we think are worth taking that we're going to just blow right through. You can look at our rankings. We pretty much agree on everyone except for safety Eric Reed, who totally slipped past me. James, talk about safety Eric Reed.
He's going to be spectacular. He's already been listed as the starter for week one. I think he's shown a lot of promise in college. He's first team all SEC when he was at LSU. I think he's going to be really good. He fits great into the 49ers defense. He plugs. You might call it a hole. You might say that he's like a better cork that they've put in that hole. Like, I'm not sure that you could call the 49 any aspect of the 49ers defense bad, but he makes the safety position even better. Right, and I look to him to be really exciting this year. He is a reasonable candidate for Defensive Rookie of the Year. I mean, look to see him just making a huge impact.
Yeah, same theory as my Matt Elam pick. He's going to be starting all year.
Yeah.
He'll have certainly the opportunity, so I think that is a good pick.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we pretty much agree on all the players. Draft the players that you know of from the San Francisco 49ers.
You could take the whole linebacking core.
Yeah, pretty much. And you would not be doing too badly.
Yeah.
Their over-under is 11 wins. How do you feel about 11?
I like Harbaugh. I think he knows how to run a football team. I'm willing to go with the over, even though I've taken the over on...
I was going to say, I am not willing to go with the over, and the reason for that is that I just feel like their division is pretty good.
Their division is good.
And their offense is a little bit questionable. Their Crabtree will be out for a little while. It's not really clear how their receiving is going to shake out. Over 11 means that they have to win 12. I think it's more likely they get 10 than 12. So this is an under for me.
That makes a lot of sense. I'm gonna retroactively go with the under here too. I think 12 is a lot to hope for. Not that they're bad. I think they're solid. I don't know if they can be more than solid on the offense side.
Perfect. The next team we're going to talk about is the Seattle Seahawks and the Legion of Boom.
The Legion of Boom.
We do have to do a little sad
detour
piece here.
First.
Yeah.
It's very
so the Legion
sad
of Boom,
news.
The starting point there, the Legion of Boom is what the Seattle defensive backs call themselves. And the Seattle defensive backs, we agree, are really good and pretty much worth drafting. Richard Sherman, Cam Chancellor, and Earl Thomas all rank in pretty high for us.
Yeah.
There was another player who ranked in really high for us among cornerbacks.
Sadly, this week we've heard terrible news. Antoine Winfield has been cut.
And retired. He's done. We love Antoine Winfield. He is great. He was great for the Vikings for a long time. I was pretty excited about him as a nickel cornerback on this team.
Me too.
I
don't know what to do with him not in football anymore. I feel really, really distraught over this. I feel like we need to memorialize him. I think I'm going to make a plaque for our microphone. It's going to be the Antoine Winfield Memorial Microphone.
Maybe that's what we'll do for the trophy for our defensive league.
Yeah!
The Antoine Winfield Memorial Trophy.
That's great. Let's do that.
All right, so again, we pretty much agree that you want the cornerbacks and safeties here. You want Bobby Wagner.
Yeah.
We have him 8th among linebackers, which probably puts him at about 10th overall in our rankings. Let's talk very briefly about the pass rush. I got two players from the pass rush for my team in the league that we're in.
Yeah.
I wanted Chris Clemons because I think he's really good. I knew he was coming back from an ACL tear, but I figure he'll be back at some point during this year, and once he does, he'll be a worthy starter.
I think that's a reasonable assumption.
As a result, I also took Cliff Avril, who is supposed to be backing him up,
and
he's hurt too.
Yeah.
And then I looked up the other player who's backing him up, which is Michael Bennett, who's also hurt.
Yeah.
Should we be concerned about the Seattle Seahawks pass rush?
Yes. In short, yes. I think you probably should. Fortunately, anyone that they put in there is gonna have more time than any other front seven is gonna have.
Because their cornerbacks.
Because their secondary is... Yeah, devastatingly good. So I think if they can find someone even just slightly above league average to fill in while these players heal up and they can get themselves back into fighting weight, the pass rush won't be devastating, but it's not going to be a problem.
Right. And Avril and Bennett might play week one. They're not as hurt as Clemons. Clemons will not play week one, but was not placed on the PUP list, so he may be back, say, week 3 or 4.
Right.
I do also, they also get back Bruce Irvin, I believe, after 4 weeks. He's been suspended but isn't injured, so once he comes back, that will help out their pass rush as well.
Yes.
Does your concern over the pass rush make you nervous about 10.5 wins, James?
No. Because of Russell Hustle Muscle Wilson.
Russell Hustle Wilson and, of course, the Legion of Boom.
And the Legion of Boom.
Russell Hustle Wilson and the Legion of Boom.
Yes.
That's
hold on. No. I'm claiming that as a band name.
All right. It's all yours.
That's it. Okay. Yeah.
I'm going over.
Yeah, me
over?
Too.
We're all going over. We love the Seattle Seahawks. This is my wife's pick to win the Super Bowl for this year. A pick of many people to win the Super Bowl this year. Love the Seahawks. Love their defense. Like their offense.
Right. Love the green. I love the green they wear. It's exactly. so bright and vibrant.
All right, that brings us to the last team for our divisional previews, and that team is the St. Louis Rams. Mm. St. Louis Rams have a lot of players we really like. They have James Laurinaitis, our second linebacker. They have our third and fourth cornerbacks, Janoris Jenkins and Courtland Finnegan.
Mm-hmm. Super solid guys.
They have two defensive ends that we have ranked in the top 25. That's Chris Long and Robert Quinn. And they have Jolon Dunbar, who is suspended, but was quite good last year and will be good when he comes back. Plus, a player I've never heard of that you, I think, pretty highly of. That's Alec Ogletree. What can you tell me about Ogletree?
Well, you've not heard of him because he's a rookie. That's why I've ranked him and you haven't. Yes. University of Georgia, he's going to be starting. He's definitely NFL quality. He's going to be, the St. Louis Rams linebacking core. Better than solid. You know, they're definitely top-notch. And playing alongside and being able to learn from James Laurinaitis and Jolon Dunbar is going to be great for Ogletree. I think look to him to be super solid this year. I mean, outside linebackers, so maybe not quite 100 tackles, but he should be
decent
good.
Decent production. He's not necessarily a starter on your team, but a good backup option.
Exactly. Also, he sort of has problems with getting arrested, but hopefully they'll work on that.
All right, so we don't like the safeties. We don't have any safeties ranked. We looked them up before we did this podcast, and neither of us had heard of either of them, which is a bad sign in general, but three good linebackers, two defensive ends, and two cornerbacks really should be enough for a good defense.
Yeah, I think so.
How does that make you feel about 7.5 wins in a division that we think is pretty good, that most people agree is the best division in football?
Yeah.
And for our first-time listeners, or just listeners that don't know James personally, James loves Sam Bradford.
I do. Again, for those of you who know that I think Brandon Weeden is the devil, it should make perfect sense to you that I love Sam Bradford.
Yeah, it's all this college stuff.
Former OU quarterback. God, I love him so much. I feel so bad for him playing on a team that has not really had an offense for the last, four seasons. I think they have a good chance to be better this year. They're young and untested, the offenses, again.
I agree.
So, you never know. And I think the rest of their division is too good for me to take the over. So
yeah,
I'm gonna go
that's
under.
Part of the problem for me. I think that this untested offense is also just not going to be all that good. I am legitimately worried about the safeties and who they're going to have matching up against, for example, tight end and slot receivers.
Yeah.
So some of that's going to fall to Ogletree, but most of it's going to fall to these safeties that we think are bad.
Yeah.
So I also have to take the under for the St. Louis Rams. That wraps up our divisional previews. We are done. No more.
That's it. You know everything there is to know about football defense now.
Yeah, so we're going to move right into the Week 1 lines. The final part of the podcast for today will be us going through every game for the week and the lines for those games. This is something we're going to do every week, and that normally will be the only thing that we're doing from week to week, is going through the games 1 week at a time. We just got kind of double booked for this podcast, which is part of why it's a little longer than average. Yeah. So we're going to go through this faster than normal. Mm-hmm. We're just going to do each line. We're going to talk a little bit about the players. Here we go.
Yep.
Season opener for the NFL. Baltimore at Denver.
Yeah.
Defending Super Bowl champions, forced to play in Denver due to some scheduling conflicts with the Baltimore Orioles, which we're not going to talk about that at all. The line for this game is Denver by 9 points.
Yeah. So I think that Peyton Manning certainly can lead a team to victory by 10 points easily. I think the problem is that as much as I don't understand it, Joe Flacco and the Ravens have proved that their offense is capable of scoring points, and Denver's defense is reeling right now.
Denver's defense is in a bad condition right now. Mm-hmm. The loss of Von Miller, Champ Bailey possibly playing, possibly not. Derek Wolfe is injured. The list is long. I'm very concerned about the defense, concerned enough that I will take Baltimore.
I'm taking Baltimore too. 9 points. My prediction is the giant Joe Flacco poster falls onto the field in the middle of the second half and lands right on top of Peyton Manning, he's confused for the rest of the game.
It's like a Brandon Whedon flag situation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, look to see that this week.
That's a bold prediction there.
Tune in, listeners. It'll be something to see.
All right, and you should tune in. That game is Thursday. We move into the Sunday games. The first Sunday game we're going to talk about is New England at Buffalo. Most of the lines that we're using come from Bovada, which is an online site that we've been using to generate these lines. They did not have a line for this game due to confusion about the Buffalo quarterback situation. Mm-hmm. I personally think that they should pick up Team Tebow, just because it would be much more fun to watch Tebow's revenge against New England.
Yeah.
That's not defense, but do you want to talk about Tim Tebow? This isn't going to happen.
No.
But in our theoretical world,
Tim Tebow, recently cut by the New England Patriots. Tears were shed by many millions of people at that. Alan's theory, which I love, is that what Buffalo should do is pick him up off the waivers for this one game, because
get some insight into the Patriots playbook.
Exactly. EJ Manuel's hurt. He's not going to play in game one. And Tim Tebow, whatever you think about him, is probably a better person to start than T.J. Tool, or whatever the hell his name is.
It's not T.J., but whatever. It's Tool. Yeah, Tool. It's Tool and Matt Leinart
and
are the two
certainly
possible.
Would get more ratings than that, either of those two quarterbacks.
This is the key to the whole thing. Yeah. I think that CBS should pay for the pickup.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think that that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah. Not going to happen, though.
No.
The line that we found on a different place is New England by 9.5 points. I will take New England.
I'm still going to take New England.
Yeah, it's a lot of points, but
yeah. Oh, Jarius Bird is hurt too.
Yeah,
this is important.
Yeah, we just learned that Bird has plantar fasciitis. We don't know how serious that is or whether he's going to be playing. Make sure you check if he's on your team, because he is a safety that we had ranked very highly that we still really like.
Yeah,
but the injury news is concerning there. Their offense is very concerning. They also don't have Stephen Gilmore, who I don't think we talked about in the preview, but is a very good cornerback.
Yeah,
I think he's suspended for either 4 or 6 games, or maybe he's hurt for maybe 4 or 6 games.
I thought he was hurt,
but
he
could
easily be
playing for
suspended.
4 to 6 games. So. He's not someone that we wound up ranking, but he's a good player that also will not be there. There's a lot of questions about New England, but there's more questions in my mind about Buffalo, so I'm at New England. The next game is Tennessee at Pittsburgh. The line we have is Pittsburgh by 7 points.
Yeah.
Pittsburgh is a defense that, if I remember right, you think is pretty good, and that I think is not good. I know I think they're not good
this year.
Yeah.
So they were not what they thought they could be last year, so they're trying to change things around. Their hope is that they'll be better this year.
Whether Do you think they'll be better for week one this year?
No, I think that is a lot to ask of a team that's retooling its defense. Also, look for Tennessee to be surprising, I think.
Yeah, I'm not prepared to say they're going to be surprising overall, but I think in this game there's a decent chance that they and their new offensive line, which is going to be at full health, can really run over this new Steelers front that maybe doesn't quite have it together yet. I like Tennessee.
I like Tennessee,
too. With the points.
Yeah, with the points.
Perfect. The next game is Atlanta at New Orleans. The line we have is New Orleans by 3.
I actually think Atlanta's going to straight up win this game. So I'm going to take Atlanta on this. I know that you are less sold on Atlanta's defense than
I believe that Drew Brees is going to decimate this defense, that they are not going to get pressure on him, that they are not going to cover the receivers sufficiently well. I think that I'm picking New Orleans here and not really thinking too hard about it, even though we're concerned about New Orleans' defense.
New Orleans' defense is a work in progress, it would be best to say.
Yeah, I mean, we
a disaster waiting
to happen.
Preview
a little bit.
Yeah. But
we don't know exactly what's going on with their safeties, but we'll see. I still like New Orleans here.
Mm-hmm.
Again, in most weeks we're going to do more in-depth talking about the players, but
look to see Jaquizz Rodgers carrying Steven Jackson across the goal line for at least 3 touchdowns
in
this game.
Why not? I think Curtis Lofton would have something to say about that particular maneuver. The next game is Kansas City at Jacksonville. These are teams that were bad last year.
Yes.
But we think Kansas City's good. Kansas City is favored on the road by 3.5 points. I want Kansas City.
I easily want Kansas City. I think that Andy Reid and his mustache are going to lead the Kansas City Chiefs to a resurgent season.
Yeah, and I mean, anytime you have Eric Berry and the various cornerbacks in Kansas City, who we think are good. I mean, yeah. Brandon Flowers is good.
Sure.
Dunta Robinson is a player I hate, as we discussed, but...
terrible human being, pretty good
cornerback. Can probably pick off Blaine Gabbert
yeah.
if he needs to. So yeah.
So could, like, a rock, though.
I think that this is a... You know, if you aren't sure whether you should... You know, if you're on the borderline about starting one of those kind of guys, start your Dunta Robinsons in this game. I think Jacksonville's going to have to be throwing, and I don't think they're going to be throwing particularly well.
Nope.
So I think you've got a decent chance at an interception return touchdown in this game.
Yeah.
We both like Kansas City there, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Perfect. Cincinnati at Chicago is our next game. This is two of our favorite defenses squaring off. The line is Chicago by 3. Geno Atkins versus the bad Chicago offensive line. Supposedly better, but I'm still going to go with bad offensive line. I like Cincinnati.
I like Cincinnati, too. I really do think that they are quite possibly the best defense in football. I think that they're going to come out and prove that in this first game against, you know, a defense that is also very, very good.
Yeah, and we really like both cornerbacks on the starting cornerbacks for Chicago, but we don't think that they can completely contain A.J. Green, right?
Yeah.
Do we think that any cornerback could completely contain A.J. Green?
Maybe Antoine Winfield could have, but shame.
What can you do? We both like Cincinnati?
We both like Cincinnati.
Both like Cincinnati. I think we might both agree on this next one as well. The next game is Miami at Cleveland. I have Cleveland by 1 point. Cleveland is a defense that I have been taking in a lot of my standard fantasy leagues.
Yeah.
It's a defense that, if you listen to our preview, you know, we both love.
Yeah.
You get to root for Barkevious Mingo.
Right. And Ishmaele Kitchen, you get to root for the best named defense in all of football.
Yeah,
for
so
sure.
I have legitimately been taking them in a bunch of standard fantasy leagues as my starting defense and not really worrying about it too much. They're always available at the end because they're ranked 20th or so by the powers that be at ESPN. Uh-huh. But it's a defense I like a lot. I do not like them enough to counteract that I really like Miami this year, and I will take Miami on the road.
Easily taking Miami. As I have said in the past, and I do believe is true, Brandon Weeden is the devil and can't play football.
I would not say that I am easily taking Miami, but I am taking Miami. I do like that you get to win if they tie, which I like ties a lot. That would be kind of fun.
Yeah.
They're both offenses that you could see playing a tie game.
Yeah, for sure.
So, root for that one. Let's all root for the
tie.
All right, the next game is Seattle at Carolina. This is two defenses we love, if I remember. Carolina, we're a little worried about the defensive backs, according to our preview.
Yes.
But we love their front seven. In Seattle, we love their defensive backs and are a little concerned about their front seven.
Yeah, well, we're concerned about their front four.
True. I suppose it's really their front four more than their the full front seven there. What are your feelings about this game?
In a straight-up fight between these two offenses, I think Seattle wins. Because I think Russell Wilson proved last year that he can lead an NFL offense to some pretty spectacular things.
Any offense that puts up 50 points in consecutive weeks, it had never happened before. It had been years and years, so...
Yeah. What was the line exactly in this game again?
Carolina +3. So Seattle is favored on the road by 3 points.
I think I'm still going to take Seattle. I do think that Russell Wilson is going to come out, if anything, just even more spectacular than last year. I think the Legion of Boom is going to shut down most of what Carolina can do. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree that Seattle is a better team, but I'm a little nervous about the various West Coast traveling East things going on in this game. A little nervous about the pass rush, and maybe Cam Newton breaks a couple plays around the edge with the defensive ends kind of not at full strength. I will take Carolina and the 3 points in this game.
I think it's a close game.
I also think it's a close game, which is why I want the 3 points. The next game that we want to talk about is Minnesota at Detroit. The line we have is Detroit by 5.5. Fair number of points for a team that was much worse last year than Minnesota.
But I think Detroit's at home. I think their defense has been reinvigorated. I think that Detroit's going to win this game. I think that Minnesota is a disaster. I think that Minnesota is a disaster.
I'm not convinced that Minnesota is more of a disaster than Detroit is. They're both defenses, I think, that have question marks
yeah.
at this point. I would like Minnesota in this game.
Yeah. I think I may be a little bit swayed by having chosen Matt Stafford to be my starting quarterback in some of my fantasy leagues, but I do think that Detroit is going to...
Well, and if nothing else, so do you think that we're going to have a big spectacular coming out party for Ziggy Ansah?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I'm sorry, that's what I meant to say, is predict 6 interceptions for touchdowns, all off the line of scrimmage, just like, it's, you know.
Ziggy and Sue.
Ziggy and Sue, back. Yep.
It can be fumble recoveries for touchdowns,
I guess
too.
That's true, yeah. You know,
they get around, they
yeah.
nail Matt Stafford.
Look to sorry, see...
Not Matt Stafford, they nail Christian Ponder.
Yeah, look to see Ndamukong Suh leap up and bounce a football into the air for Ziggy Ansah to
perfect.
Catch and run back for a touchdown. Yeah, I think that's probably what's going to happen.
Well, I think that if that happens, you will be correct in your pick of Detroit. Next game is Oakland at Indianapolis. The line that we have for this game, and I've seen a lot of different ones, but following the Terrell Pryor announcement, the line that I have is -10, which is to say Indianapolis by 10 at home. That is a lot of points.
That is a lot of points. It could easily be said that Oakland has no semblance of anything on either side of the football, but 10 points is a lot for a team that we're pretty sure was just the luckiest team in all of football last
season.
Yeah,
I mean, I do think that Oakland may legitimately be the worst team in the league.
Yeah.
But I also think Indianapolis is going to be... going backwards a little bit.
Yeah.
This pick makes me nervous, but I want Oakland and the points. I like the idea that Terrell Pryor in his first full game gets some surprising plays, maybe some weird stuff happens there. Yeah. I just am not willing to give 10 points away, I don't think, for
yeah.
Indianapolis. I also am not really convinced, if you recall from the previews, about Indianapolis's defense.
Right.
So I think even Terrell Pryor is going to be able to make enough plays to keep it under 10 points.
Yeah, I'm with you, Alan. I'm taking the points and Oakland on that.
Cool. The next game is Arizona at St. Louis. I have St. Louis by 4.5 points. This is a divisional matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Two teams we just talked about in some length.
Yeah.
I, if you recall, don't really like the St. Louis offense, and I do pretty much like the Arizona defense, maybe not the cornerback so much, but that's the part of the St. Louis
yeah.
St. Louis offense that I'm not really convinced is good.
Yeah.
I will take Arizona.
I'm going to take Arizona too. I've been flip-flopping on this in my head, but I think that I finally have to admit that my love for Sam Bradford does not equal the offensive potential of the St. Louis Rams.
Yeah, and 4.5 points is a decent
four and a half
points.
St. Louis
can still win that game, and you be right taking Arizona there. So
I'm
not convinced that Arizona wins, but I do think that the game will be close, if nothing else.
Yes, I'm going with Arizona, too. I think you're right, Alan.
All right, the marquee afternoon game for this week is Green Bay at San Francisco, a rematch of that crazy game with the zone read.
Oh,
those who were paying attention to our divisional previews will remember that Green Bay studied, in depth, their coaches studied on how to beat the zone read, and San Francisco specifically. Is that enough for you to take Green Bay?
What was the line again?
4.5 points for San Francisco at home.
Ah, God. San Francisco at home. No, that is not enough for me to take Green Bay. I think even though Green Bay spent the entire offseason trying to figure out how to beat Colin Kaepernick, like, I'm pretty sure they just had written on every single whiteboard in Lambeau Field, just beat Colin Kaepernick. And then they took the trip down to Texas A&M. I just think that while they've made some changes on defense, I don't know that it's enough. And I think that with Kaepernick having a whole offseason to train with the first team offense, that he's going to come out... You know, Harbaugh is not an idiot. Jim Harbaugh's not an idiot. He's... arguably, yeah, there's an argument to be made that he is the best head coach in all of football.
I think that would be a pretty good argument, yep.
Yeah, so I think that he's going to know Green Bay's been preparing for this. He's going to have his stuff sorted by the time this game rolls around.
I'm a little concerned about San Francisco's offensive personnel.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Green Bay is still going to be able to move the ball against a good defense here, and I will take Green Bay in this game. So
that'll be a game to watch, listeners. That game will be exciting.
It
certainly is,
and it'll probably be on wherever you live, because it's going to be on everywhere but Arizona, St. Louis, Oakland, and Indianapolis, I think.
Yeah.
The next game, the night game for Sunday, is New York Giants at Dallas. I have Dallas by 3 points. If I recall, we both love Dallas's defense and don't like New York's defense. Is that enough for us to take Dallas?
As much as, like, I can feel the bile rising in my throat when I say this.
Well, we don't like either of these teams as in terms of our rooting interests.
That's a fair point. But, yeah, I am going to take Dallas at home.
Yeah, you have to take one of them. I will also take Dallas at home. I think that Dallas is going to be... I mean, I think they're going to be a good team this year, but even if they're not a good team this year, I think that they're going to start off really well and then disappoint, because that's the thing that Dallas does.
Yeah, that's what Tony Romo does. When there's no pressure, he's an elite quarterback. When there's any pressure at all, he's, you know, Joe Webb.
Right, so the result is I have no problem taking them -3 against the Giants week one.
Yeah.
The Monday night, the first Monday night game, there are two for this first week, is a game that I will be at in person, Philadelphia at Washington. The line is Washington by 3.5.
I gotta take Washington. I can't even, there's no way I can logic myself
out of this. I know this is the team that you root for. Now, of course, the team I root for is Philadelphia, so I will be taking Philadelphia, as I should.
Uh-huh.
I like to think that our fantasy matchup that we're going to be playing will come down to DeMeco Ryans, and I'll get to watch him defeat you live and in color.
It'll probably be DeMeco Ryans versus Brian Arakpo. That's what it's going to come down to.
And I'll just be sitting there watching the whole thing. I'm very excited about this.
It's going to be a... listeners, it's going to be a spectacular game to watch. Chip Kelly's new offense versus, which is
really
almost certainly going to be exciting, versus RG3 in the Redskins offense, which you know is exciting.
Yeah.
Two relatively retooled defenses. It's going to be...
Yeah, I'm a little concerned about Philadelphia's defensive backs, but the defenses should be at least okay. I think Washington's defense, and in particular their front seven, are pretty good.
Yes.
I think that we're going to see a lot of Arakpo and Kerrigan, and we're going to really find out if the alleged improvements to the line for Philadelphia are for real.
Also, we will really find out if Michael Vick knows how to hold a football yet.
He supposedly learned, so we're going to find out. All right, the final game of the week is Houston at San Diego. The line that we have is Houston by 3.5 on the road. I think San Diego's a disaster, and that Houston's defense is pretty good. I want Houston.
I want Houston, hands down.
I don't really think we need to say more about that.
Look to have J.J. Watt tackle the entire San Diego offensive line in one play.
Their offensive line isn't good, and I think that even with the one-game suspension for Antonio Smith that we talked about, I think that Houston will be able to generate enough pressure and cover the depleted receivers. I'm not very concerned about this one. I like Houston in a reasonably big way.
You think
way.
On certainly over-unders for Philip Rivers looking disappointed on camera?
Oh, a lot. That's what he... I mean, does it count? His base state is looking disappointed.
That's a fair point.
So does he have to look more disappointed than normal?
More disappointed than normal.
Hmm. Well, let's see. How many sacks do we expect are going to happen in this game? 4 or 5?
Yeah. Let's say 4.
Probably 6 or 7 Philip Rivers disappointed looks.
Yeah,
probably
I think that's reasonable. I would take that.
All right, that wraps up. Again, in future weeks, we will go more in-depth on individual players in that kind of preview, but we just don't have time this week. So that wraps it up. That wraps up this installment of the Impenetrable Fortress podcast. You can email us at podcast@alanjackaway.com. Our editor and producer is Sarah Gonzalez. Our theme and interstitial music is Dear Liza by Ned and the Dirt. You can get their album Giants on iTunes or CD Baby. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Feel free to share it with your friends. James, are you ready for some football?
I'm ready for some football.
I'm so ready for some football. It's 2 days away when we're recording this, probably hours away when this gets released on the internet.
Yeah.
Very excited, but I do think that in this time of Jubilee, possibly the best time of the year, this is still the time when everyone can, well, maybe not everyone, but most teams can still have some hope for the season at this point. We do still need to take another moment to think about Antoine Winfield.
Poor Antoine Winfield. Listeners, you can't see it, but we've got a graphic up for Antoine Winfield's NFL career on the computer.
Yeah.
It's just to get us in the mood.
Yeah, it's really so tremendous sad. Player.
Truly, truly one of the greatest people ever to have played football.
Yeah. We'll miss him, but he goes out having a great career and hopefully moving on with his life to maybe not better things, but good things in any case. So thanks for the good times, Antoine Winfield. From Alan.
And James.
Stay low.